Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 8th, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am stellar. Thanks for having me today, Jeff.
Awesome. And I am so glad you are here. And John Martellaro, I'm happy you are here. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. Very nice to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. And Eero, I'm glad they are here. They're a sponsor today. They make the Wi-Fi mesh network system that I'm using in my place that I absolutely love. I'll tell you more about that soon. But we need to fill everyone in on what sounds like a horrible problem, but maybe not so much by the time we heard about it. And this is a security bug in HomeKit that could allow someone to remotely access your entire HomeKit setup without your permission. And it's an exploit that could be taken advantage of right now, or could have. But Apple has already released a patch for the server side.
So that's their side, right?
That's their side.
Users don't need to do anything to take advantage of that patch, right?
Right. And, okay. And part of that is it actually disabled the guest access to your HomeKit setup. So if you've invited other people to be able to control your HomeKit stuff, they can't right now. And then next week, there will be a new patch coming out for iOS 11.2 that fixes the issue, the other part of the issue, which would be on the user end. And then everyone that you've invited to control your HomeKit gear would be able to do so again.
Is it significant that you wrote earlier versions of iOS aren't affected? It kind of reminds me of the root problem that didn't occur on Sierra. Is this kind of like part of that?
I don't know, because I don't know enough about the technical side of what happened. And of course, Apple isn't saying anything, because then people would be exploiting this. So I'm not sure. But we know at least part of it is something that they could patch on their side before pushing out an update. So, Dave, have you heard anything else about this issue?
No, other than the report yesterday, I haven't heard anything. But I mean, it's very clear that it's 11.2 and later affected by this. Mm-hmm. So, this is good. It's good. I mean, it's not good, but it's good that Apple's moved quickly on it and patched it up quick, you know, in the way that they can.
And we probably I didn't hear about any specific instances of exploits.
It doesn't sound like there have been any exploits in the wild, but yeah. It is considered a zero day. So the potential was there at least until Apple shut down the server side part of the bug.
Yeah, that's what happens with a lot of these exploits. We hear about them and we get a little bit agitated, but whether they were invoked in the real world is often not happening.
Yeah. And and like I said, it doesn't sound like this is happening in the wild. So, but the big thing for now is to know that if you've invited people to control your HomeKit gear and they can't and they're getting pissed off, this is why. So they'll be able to start controlling stuff again next week. And I'm glad that it's not a big problem for me, because I really don't have anyone that's most of the time remotely controlling my gear for me. So I'm going to sleep.
Brings up an interesting question for me. Is it theoretically possible, given the structure of the internet, the way code works, the way the internet works, is it theoretically impossible to secure any system? And if so, then the question is, what do you, as Christopher Kane at Ecovac says, it's not a question about stopping the exploits because it's not possible. It's a question about what you do afterwards, preventing leaks, preventing consequences. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
It raises a question in my mind about whether we have an impossible situation to secure a situation, secure this kind of system, given the way computers work and the way the internet works. I wonder if a mathematician could prove it.
Well, it proves itself. It's impossible to truly secure something that others are going to be able to access remotely, right? And any, like, you can get a whole lot closer to being secure if you air gap the thing and make it inaccessible to anyone except those people, like actually inaccessible from a networking standpoint and a physical standpoint. But once it's accessible, especially over a network, just because there's so many people that could then get to it, and at that point, it cannot be ultimately secure. It's as secure as the authentication methods that you have in place, and that's that. And you just have to accept that. Yeah.
Maybe the only thing you can do is make it too difficult, make it a waste of time or too costly.
Right. But you have to make it difficult.
Theoretical perfection is probably not obtainable, I would guess.
No way.
I see.
No way.
Dave, you've talked in the past about something that I think is just a fantastic observation, which is there's the sliding scale between convenience and security. And so you have to find that middle ground where it's secure enough and still convenient enough. And
right. Yeah. You it's a continuum, right? Between ultimate privacy or ultimate security and ultimate convenience on the other end. And those are really two separate continuums, the one for convenience versus privacy and the other for convenience versus security. But yeah, I mean, the way I like to explain that is your house, right? You can choose to, from a security standpoint, you can choose to have no locks on any of your doors and windows, right? So it's really easy for you to get out and you to get in, but also really easy for anyone else to get out and in. Or you could get in your house and brick up everything. Now you can't get out. I suppose if you could get out, you couldn't get back in unless you did it via the same hole that you created to get out. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, with bricks, nobody's coming in without, you know, crashing down your house. So, but you choose not to do that. We like to see outside. We like to go outside. We like to do things out there and then we want to come back. So we decide, like, if I'm going to the mailbox, do I lock my door then? Versus if I'm going to get in my car and drive to the store, do I lock my door then? And the answer might be yes to both of those. It might be no to both of those, or it might be yes to one and no to the other. But these are the convenience related decisions that we make when it comes to security and puts us in a different place on the continuum. And while we're here, you know, the things like Touch ID and Face ID, I don't see those as security features. I see those as convenience features, but they are features that make security a little more convenient for us. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we might be, even though it could be argued that, you know, a 32 character passcode would be more secure than Face ID, maybe or maybe not. But certainly Face ID is way more convenient than a 32 character passcode. So,
oh yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just gets interesting.
All right. And next week we'll have a patch out and this HomeKit security flaw will be taken care of. So completely for now.
Sweet.
All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today and that sponsor is Eero. And I'm pretty pleased with Eero because I've been using their Wi-Fi mesh network system since version 1 came out. Currently, I'm using version 2, the second generation. And the big changes between the first and the second takes out the two extenders that they had in the original and replaces those with Eero beacons. And when I first saw those, my thought was, well, is this going to make my Wi-Fi network less flexible than it was before? And the answer was no, not at all. My network is actually better than it was before, which is saying a lot because I was really pleased with my first gen Eero. And now with the second gen, I have that great little base station, the two Wi-Fi access point extenders, the Eero beacons. My network is extended. It covers enough space that I typically can go to my favorite pub around the corner and still hit my own Wi-Fi network. And I love that they added in the third 5 gigahertz radio. So now it's a tri-band system, and it's substantially faster than it was before, which again is saying a lot. Eero says it's twice as fast.
I'm going to interject one thing here, Jeff, which I know I normally don't do in your sponsor spots, but
I'll let you.
If you had a first gen Eero system and then you wanted to get some of these tri-band radios, they all integrate with each other. And my setup here is exactly a reflection of that. I've got a second gen Eero, I've got a first gen Eero, and I've got beacons all working together, kind of maximizing the strengths of each of them. And it's all just
that's
the same.
Really cool.
Yeah, there's nothing in the setup that's difficult about this. It's just, you want to add another Eero unit? Fine, add it. And whatever its capabilities are, then that's what that particular unit has. And the rest aren't slowed down because of it. It just, it's great. Just wanted to throw that in.
I'm glad you did, because it hadn't even occurred to me, why not just blend your first and second gen systems together?
Yeah. And if you do it intelligently, you can really start to, you know, get some cool things done. But I get excited about this stuff. So, yeah.
As do I. And wow. So as of now, my Eero system is even cooler than it was before. And I kind of wish my place was bigger so that I have an excuse to throw even more stuff around into here.
Yeah. That's the only problem.
Yeah. Well, I know. Sometimes having technology is really expensive, meaning you have to go buy a new house so you can put more in. Hey, but if you want to pick up an Eero system, and I think you should because I really love mine, head over to their website, Eero.com. That's Eero.com. And then pick out the system you want. And I have the second gen with the two beacons, and I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. So take a look at that. When you pick out your system and you get to checkout, choose overnight shipping and then enter the special code TDO. And when you do that, you get free overnight shipping in the United States and Canada. So you can order and then the next day have your new Eero system up and running. And I just love mine. So that's Eero.com, and then use the special code TDO when you choose your overnight shipping at checkout. So in the United States and Canada, you get that overnight shipping for free. Thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. All right. So the other thing that I want to take a look at is this whole thing about what's a computer. And what's bringing this up is that John, I don't think like Apple's iPad commercial where they show this girl going to school and going out playing and doing all these things and using an iPad. And I think it's a brilliant commercial.
And, I think it's an awful commercial.
Well, and so the background for the commercial is Microsoft CEO. He made comments recently where he was slamming the iPad, saying people should buy a real computer. And of course, he meant buy a Surface tablet that's running Windows. So you have this tablet running full Windows, and he thinks, hey, that's a real computer, an iPad isn't. And I disagree with him.
He's right.
No, he's wrong.
What is a computer? A computer is a device that does things an iPad can't do.
An iPad's a computer. It's
well, yeah, technically it is a computer. So yeah. That's even worse because they're making a false distinction. But the idea that an iPad is something that kids should be using, that they should be ignorant of computers, that an iPad is all they'll ever need. Here's all the cool things they can do on it. It's an enclosed world. It's a small space. it's a tenant screen, and there's lots of things you can't do on that iPad. And Apple doesn't want to talk about that. They just want to smack back at Microsoft for having a full-fledged operating system for kids who can take a Windows operating system to school and get stuff done.
And I look at the iPad and I think, okay, so here's a powerful computer with a full-fledged operating system geared specifically towards a touch interface. There are all the apps that many people need to do everything that they need to get done. And it's a fully capable computer. There are many cases where my iPad Pro could serve as my only computer if I wasn't podcasting.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up.
But Jason Snell podcasts from his iPad routinely, not every podcast, but he can make it happen. And so can you.
Oh, I could totally make it happen. I have just chosen not to. Therefore, yeah, I need my laptop, my Mac for...
It's not as convenient to podcast from your iPad, at least not from a software standpoint, perhaps from what hardware do I need to lug? Although even that, I might argue that it's more convenient to do it from your Mac. But if the only reason you would bring your Mac with you when you travel is to podcast, then perhaps... the iPad could be more convenient. I'm finding myself sitting here, probably like a lot of listeners, you know, sort of banging my fist on the steering wheel, the virtual steering wheel, because I'm not doing this driving. Kind of agreeing and disagreeing with both of you that my kids at school could very easily get away with using just an iPad. And there are people at school that do it just that, because they do all of their stuff inside Google Classroom. So the either Safari on the iPad, especially an iPad with a keyboard, like an iPad Pro with a, you know, with a smart keyboard or any kind of keyboard, that's certainly very doable. And then the apps for all the Google stuff are right there too. But at the same time, I agree that we need some kind of distinction, a semantic distinction, a word that means computer like a Mac versus computer like an iPad. And I think, you know, tablet versus laptop or tablet versus desktop, because there are even smaller differences between laptop and desktop computers, right? But so I think we would call tablets tablet computers, smartphones technically, you know, pocket computers, right? The watch, wrist computer, but all of these things, and even, you know, that thing that we yell the A word to ask it to tell me my news story, you know, from Amazon.
We're barking up the wrong tee.
But that's a voice activated computer.
You're creating your own rules and playground here.
Well, aren't you doing
so? You're a college. No, you're a college freshman. You've signed up for a Java programming class, and you come in with an iPad. Well, how's that going to work?
Yeah, a tablet computer is going to be, I would assume. I have not tried to code on an iPad, but I feel like I know what that might be like. and I'm totally with you that yes, a tablet, wrong thing. Is it a computer? Yeah, but you need a laptop or a desktop to really make that class work. And I would even argue further for the college freshman that wants to do coding and you know, Java classes or whatever languages they're going to learn.
Security.
I would say laptop better than desktop for the college freshman, because now you can bring it to and from class with you. So, right. I mean, I think that those distinctions that I painted, they're actually very relevant for a conversation like this, because having a desktop in your dorm room that only is in your dorm room is going to provide you less functionality as a college student on a campus than a laptop might.
Well, what bothers me is that Apple's telegraphing an alarming concept, and that is that we're going to make iPhones and we're going to make iPads, and we don't really need Macs anymore, and they're complicated, and the Unix is too hard for us to secure. We make mistakes. It's too messy. They have to be backed up. So we're just going to give up. And we're going to say, oh, the iPad is all you ever need. And so when you start advertising that all you need is an iPad, then you start thinking internally in your corporation that all you need is an iPad. And that's what's concerning.
That's not what I'm seeing. But what I'm seeing is that Apple is looking at how many people use their computing devices, and they're looking at the needs that those people have. And they're addressing that through ads like this. And in many cases,
the reason they're addressing it
is a tablet.
The reason they're addressing it is because iPad sales had been declining for 3 years and Mac sales had been slightly improving for over that period.
Well, so they had to do something. That's abandoning the Mac. That's marketing. And I think this was a great form of marketing because there's a lot of people that a tablet is the right computer format for them. And like, you know, your example of going to your coding class in college, of course, a tablet is not the right device for that. But that doesn't mean the tablet isn't a valid computer for many people.
Right. So I have another, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here.
Okay.
You know, Apple saying that, well, Unix is too difficult for us to secure and we're going to make mistakes and all that. And certainly in the last, even just the last couple of weeks, we've seen more than a fair share of examples proving that to be true. Did Apple do that intentionally?
No.
With my tinfoil hat on?
No. I know you're a conspiracy theorist, but that's over the top.
You have to know. I emotionally support all conspiracy theories, no, even if I can't intellectually support them. But I like them. So let's throw that out there, right? I mean,
that's a fun one, Dave.
It's fun. That's why I do it.
Yeah.
All right, so we're out of time, and what I think we have resolved up to this point is that John and I are going to continue to disagree about what computers are and where they fit into Apple's grand scheme, but that's okay because we're still friends.
Mm-hmm. For now.
I'll take it as I can get it. I'm glad you're my friend. For now.
We love you, Jeff.
I love you too, John. All right. Well, on that happy note, we are out of time. John, thank you for being here today.
That was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's always great. That was a fun discussion. Dave, thank you for being here. And I love you too, man.
And I love you too. Thanks for having me.
This is just like the happiest love fest show ever. Eero, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com, and pick up that Eero system that's going to work great for you so you can have an awesome, awesome network just like mine. And don't forget to use the code TDO at checkout when you choose your shipping so you get that free overnight shipping. Thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for being here. And I'm now going to task you with either calling John or me to task today. Which one of us is right about the whole computer tablet thing? Shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. Send me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. And of course, leave comments in the show notes. I'll be looking all those places to see what you guys have to say. Thank you for being here and listening. See you again next week.